You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 472.
On flopcast.net.
Yes, hello, Gorn Flake.
And we're back. Hi, Kevin.
We're back entering year 10 of podcasting.
Unbelievable.
Oh, no. We'll see what happens. Going to keep things simple today, I think, coming off our big anniversary show. And we're just going to flip through an old issue of Dynamite magazine, you know, as we do on occasion.
You got the goods, I presume?
I got an issue of Dynamite here. Yes, you're far away. We're on the Zoom right now. But trust me, I got another Dynamite for you.
I'm ready for it.
Yes, we will do that in, a couple of minutes. Cornflake, let's start with National Whatever Day.
National Whatever Day!
It's a 50th birthday this week, Kevin, for somebody we've discussed recently on the Flopcast because we were all about WandaVision. It's Paul Bettany. Paul Bettany, who played Vision. He's turning 50 on the 27th of May.
Okay, sure. I know that guy.
Yeah, we do. He dressed up like a turkey, which is absolutely 100% the reason why I had to pick him for National Whatever Day.
Everybody watched WandaVision. Everybody loved WandaVision. For us here on the Flopcast, the highlight of WandaVision was literally like 2 seconds on the screen when they were doing that fake like Family Ties style sitcom opening. And real quick, you see Vision from the Avengers, the Vision, dressed in a turkey suit.
It's glorious.
And suddenly that's all that mattered.
Not that he hasn't been in other television shows and films. I think he was in The Da Vinci Code. I'd be quick to admit, I've not seen that myself.
No, nobody saw that. Literally nobody saw that. I mean, all the Marvel movies, of course, because he's a Vision, and then he's also the voice of the Iron Man computer thing.
Jarvis.
Yeah, Jarvis. Can you tell I'm a DC reader? I called it the Iron Man computer thing.
Yeah, you did.
That's right. Jarvis. Thank you.
And he was in Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Okay. Didn't see that. I don't think I've seen him in much of anything, although I did see him in one, like, I think it was a Netflix movie very recently. He's like a girl's uncle and they take a road trip together.
Is that The Secret Life of Bees? No.
No.
Because he was in that.
I don't know what it was called. It was pretty good, though.
That does sound cool.
I think it's called the Iron Man computer thing takes a road trip with its niece. It's a Netflix original. Check it out.
I don't.
That's the exact official title. Take my word for it. Meanwhile, happy birthday to the Vision.
Happy birthday, Paul Bettany.
Okay. Anything else happening, Cornflake? Oh, I got my second vaccine shot, so that's something.
I am days from recording this, I am getting my second vaccine shot.
Yeah. They put podcasters all on the same fixed schedule. So this week was our week, the Flopcast, to get our second vaccines.
Right.
We're just a couple of days apart. Yeah. I got shot number two. Zero side effects. Well, maybe I had some weird side effects to the first shot, you may recall. Second shot, the only side effect that I could detect was for about 48 hours, I knew all the lyrics to every song by Juice Newton. But that faded. It was weird, but they say, you know, you'll get some symptoms, some side effects, but it passes. And it did.
So you had Juice Newton symptoms.
Yeah, I'm back to where I started before. I'm back to, like, I know Queen of Hearts, you know, I know the hits, and that's it. But the deep album cuts, that was temporary.
I'm so glad you're okay.
Yeah, I mean, it was nice. by the way, speaking of the vaccines and whatnot, our own Dr. Scott, a.k.a. Dr. Geek from Dr. Geek's Lab here on the ESO Network, prepared like a little PSA audio clip reminding everybody, go get your stupid vaccine. So we'll be playing that at some point during this show and during every show, I think, for the next
I love that.
The next several weeks. Yeah, so you'll be hearing that little clip from Dr. Scott and all the ESO shows. So there's that. I think the only development around here otherwise is, we started growing a baby Yoda chia pet.
How's it coming along?
It's right now, it's just a bunch of seeds, smeared all over baby Yoda. We'll see how it goes. I'll keep you updated.
So you're growing a Grogu.
Hopefully it will turn into a huge, terrifying plant monster and destroy us all.
That's the end we've been waiting for.
Anyway, Cornflake, what I have for today, just to keep things simple, as mentioned, you know, every once in a while we like to dive into our giant stack of old Dynamite magazines from the 70s and 80s, and we just flip through an issue and see what's going on.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to do this.
I think it's been a few months since we did this. I know we did this at least once sometime last year. I don't remember when. But here we go. Dynamite, of course. This was a magazine that was sold largely through school book clubs to kids back in the 70s and 80s. You know, you fill out the form, then you give your teacher 35 cents or whatever, and she hands you the latest issue of Dynamite. We have a huge stash of them here in the studio for some reason. For emergency purposes, you know?
Yeah. You just break into the stash whenever we need to.
Yeah. Well, this is just such an emergency tonight. I broke the glass and fished out another issue of Dynamite. This is, Cornflake, Dynamite number 67 from December 1979. And I know you're not here, so I Turksted you a picture of the cover of the magazine. You got that?
I was delighted, Kevin, to see who was featured on the cover.
This is a good one. You know this guy.
Yeah, I do. He's one of my comedic heroes.
Yes, you and me both. Here on the front cover of Dynamite, Steve Martin, a wild and crazy guy.
And he plays one heck of a banjo.
Oh, sure. Great, great banjo player, of course. This is a classic late 70s Steve Martin on the cover in that he's wearing the white suit, the arrow through the head, and the bunny ears. And Steve Martin was the biggest stand-up comedian in America at this point. He was filling venues that had never hosted stand-up before. Like, Steve Martin was filling arenas, and it grew to such a ridiculous point that he just decided to stop. And it's right around this time, because in the article about Steve inside the magazine, he actually discusses how he's giving up stand-up comedy. So this was a big time in the career of Steve Martin, in that this was December 1979, and it says right in the article, Universal Studios signed him up to write and star in two films. The first one, The Jerk, will be released this month.
Yeah, so this was back when The Jerk was released.
This came out at the same time as The Jerk, yeah. Man, I love that movie so much.
Yeah, you do.
It's so goofy. And even when I was a kid, and I didn't see it in the theater when it came out. I was way too young to see The Jerk in 1979, but it started playing on TV all the time. This article describes the plot of The Jerk, which is pretty ridiculous. And the other strange thing here is it talks about The Jerk coming out this month. Then it says, after The Jerk, Steve has also agreed to star in George Lucas's mystery movie, Radioland Murders.
I don't remember anything about this.
Well, yeah, the name sounded familiar, so I looked it up. There was a movie called Radioland Murders. It came out 15 years later, 1994. This movie finally came out. It was a George Lucas project. He produced it. And apparently George had been developing this since the 70s, obviously.
Right.
And it just kind of got stuck in development for years and years. And Steve Martin had nothing to do with it by the time it came out in the mid-90s. But it was like a wacky comedy set in the world of like old-time radio dramas of the 1930s. Apparently it was not good.
Yeah, well, the name like Radioland Murders, I think I'd be skeptical.
Yeah, I mean, it was a big ensemble cast. A lot of really good people are in it. Michael McKean is in it, Jeffrey Tambor, Larry Miller, Harvey Korman, Christopher Lloyd, Jack Sheldon from Schoolhouse Rock. So very impressive people in this cast, but apparently it did not add up to much of anything, I guess, because it was a huge flop and not well received by the critics either. But I thought that was interesting. And it's fun seeing, like, when you read stuff like this in periodicals, how much is wrong. You know, yeah. 'Cause they always announce what's coming up and then things change so quickly in Hollywood. That's like, I've gone through like old issues of Starlog, the old science fiction magazine from the 80s. And everything's wrong. It always lists, here's what this guy's doing next, and here's who's going to star in this, and everything changes by the time it really happens.
Yeah, some aspects certainly changed, but look at Dynamite with the hot tip of the movie that wouldn't come out until the 90s.
They were visionaries. They knew what was going to happen 15 years in the future. Yes.
The only part they were wrong about was Steve Martin having anything to do with it.
It's kind of a nice article here. It's just like a 3-page article about Steve and his career, and a lot of the stuff was familiar to me from his autobiography, which I read a few years ago. It's really short, really quick read. It's excellent, called Born Standing Up. And it talks through how, like, he got a job at Disneyland when he was still like a young kid, teenager. He was doing magic tricks and working at a magic shop at Disneyland, and you know, eventually stand up and writing for the Smothers Brothers and SNL, of course. And it says he doesn't socialize much, just an occasional game of horseshoes with his next door neighbor, John Denver.
Wow. That there, Kevin, is the life.
This says he lives in Aspen, Colorado. Evidently, he had a home in at this time. So he's living in Colorado next door to John Denver.
Rocky Mountain High, playing horseshoes.
Can we please time travel back to 1979? I just want to watch Steve Martin and John Denver throwing horseshoes together.
I'm already playing it through in my mind, Kevin. And
what a scene.
It's magnificent, really. And you're right. We should go back to 1979 and see it for ourselves.
Let's do that. I guess we're kind of going back to 1979 right now by just going through this issue of Dynamite. There's a page about Dynamite's awards for 1979, and Entertainer of the Year is Robin Williams.
Very nice.
Well, this was like right in the height of Mork and Mindy mania, so this was his time. There's a little caricature of Robin Williams wearing the Mork suit with the rainbow suspenders.
So great.
Yes, so everybody was way into Mork at this point.
Mork and Mindy brought me so much joy as a small child.
I'm guessing that it would be unwatchable today. I don't know. I haven't seen it in several decades. I'm not sure it would hold up, for me at least. I don't know. Here's something else interesting on this page. There's a thing about new world records being set, and this one caught my eye just for the local angle. It says there was a world record book attempt by a Massachusetts man who caught a grape in his mouth after it had been thrown from 270 feet away.
Whoa. Somebody needs to tell that guy there are simpler ways to eat.
Well, this is a local guy. I mean, we could go find this guy. Do you think we could look him up?
Local grape eater?
Can somebody please track down the Massachusetts man that catches grapes from 270 feet away? Because we have several questions.
Well, that was back in the 70s. By now, it could be a substantially higher number of feet. Like, he may have improved his technique over the years.
Yeah, that record certainly has been broken since then, I think. Everybody breaks these records. Yeah, the grape technology has improved to such an extent that, yeah, at the time, that was an impressive distance. These days, you know, that's typical. That's about the average distance, I think, that people eat grapes from.
How do you do that without choking? Yikes.
Oh, no, the guy dropped dead on the spot. Don't get me wrong. But he died a champion. There's like a 2-page spread here called Winter Warm-Ups, and it's recipes for, I guess because this came out in the winter, it's like hot beverages that you can make. And this is for kids, so there's not even any booze in this stuff, you know?
No whiskey.
Yeah, but I kind of flipped through this, and every single one of these drinks sounds absolutely disgusting.
And tell me more. I love a good disgusting drink.
I mean, there's one that has tomato juice and chili powder and popcorn.
The hell?
In the drink.
What?
Yeah, yeah. Every one of these just sounds crazy.
Oh, I was really hoping that there was a cool one in there somewhere, but I can't get behind popcorn and tomato juice. What on earth?
There's some kind of a warm milk drink, but then you throw in a bunch of butter and candy.
Oh, yuck.
I was not kidding, Cornflake. They're all disgusting. Here's a hot chocolate, but then you add some coconut and some pineapple. They tried to figure out a way to ruin everything, and I think they succeeded. There's 2 pages of this stuff, Cornflake. Everything's gross.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so disturbing. Like, not a single one of those, none of those sound salvageable.
No. All awful. That was a thing back then, especially going back to, like, there's recipe books from the 50s that are just insane. They were encouraging, like the post-war suburban housewives of America just had these crazy, like, Betty Crocker books just full of absolute lunacy. as a nation, we were just poisoning ourselves with disgusting things. It was the best. Here's the Dynamite Duo comic strip. Those are always weird. I don't know what's going on here. I'm going to skip this. I can't take it. Here's a page of Hollywood gossip. And again, now here's another example of how things change and they get everything wrong. There's a little picture of Christopher Reeve in his Superman costume. So this would have been in between Superman 1 and Superman 2. And it says, Superman's powers have rubbed off on Superman star Christopher Reeve. Chris is using all his star power to make sure the script of Superman 2 is just the way he wants it. He flexed his muscles to make sure the new movie keeps Lois Lane and Superman just friends.
Oh?
Cornflake, did you see Superman 2?
Yes, that's not what I remember.
No, it's not. They hook up at the Fortress of Solitude. Like you see them waking up together on a weird bed at the North Pole.
Like you do when you're friends.
So I don't think Christopher Reeve successfully flexed his muscles to keep Clark and Lois just friends.
Flexed his muscles and failed.
Dynamite missing the mark here, but I like it. There's a little piece about the Muppets. It says there are thousands who think that Miss Piggy should be nominated for Best Actress at the Academy Awards. I don't remember. Did she win an Oscar that year? Maybe she did. I think she did.
Oh.
Let's say they gave the Academy Award to a puppet pig. Sure.
I'm on board.
There's a little picture of Eric Estrada in here, your favorite from Chips.
Punch!
The scoop here is Eric goes to the dentist every 60 days to get his teeth cleaned. The dental bills must be big, but Eric's smile is worth a million.
Oh, the dentist must love him.
I like that somebody at Dynamite thought that was a story worthy of print.
I'd like to see how frequently they report on the dental habits of people. Like, maybe there's somebody on the Dynamite staff who's just really into teeth.
They should have gone to an all-tooth format. We just want to hear about the teeth of the stars. They could have put Donny Osmond on the cover every month. Here's something about Kiss. Kiss may be kissing their makeup goodbye. Gene Simmons has already been photographed without his face painted, and the rest of the group just may go for the natural look, too. All right, so this one they got right.
That did happen.
Kiss did, in fact, take their makeup off, oh, a couple of years after this, I guess? around 81, 82, somewhere in there. Yeah, the makeup did come off. We'll give them that. They got something right. Those fierce journalists over at Dynamite creeping around Hollywood. And John Travolta had a beard. That was a big story also. Have you seen the bearded Grease star, John Travolta? What do you think? The beard is for his film Urban Cowboy.
Oh.
Okay. I don't remember John Travolta with a beard.
Me neither. I can't even picture that at all.
I think I missed it. I never saw the movie Urban Cowboy, so I don't know if he was in fact bearded in that movie. But you know what? Who cares? And finally, we have happy birthday to Rod Stewart, Andy Kaufman, and Bill Bixby.
That's an interesting lineup.
Those are the three January birthdays that they picked out, and then they have addresses where you can write to these guys. Who do you want to write to?
That's one of my favorite things about Dynamite.
Yeah, it might be a little late to write to Andy Kaufman or Bill Bixby, but, you know, we can try.
Next January.
Next January, we'll try. I didn't mean late in this calendar year, Cornflake.
Surely somebody's getting that mail, even if it's not them.
Here's something. There's a big two-page article about, I do not remember this name at all, but about a young gymnast named Tracy Talavera. It says, Tracy Talavera, can she swing the Olympics? So I looked this girl up. She was 13.
Wow.
And she was expected to make the 1980 U.S. Olympic team.
That would have been quite the accomplishment.
Well, I looked her up. And she did, in fact, make the 1980 Olympic team.
My goodness.
However, she didn't go to the Olympics. Do you know why?
What happened?
Because nobody from America went to the Olympics that year. That was the year Olympics were in Moscow.
Right, Russia, yeah.
Soviet Union, and President Carter boycotted the Olympics because of the Afghanistan-Soviet Union situation.
That's right.
Yeah, robbing this poor girl of her gymnastic Olympic dreams. However, Cornflake, She got to the Olympics 4 years later. She was on the Olympic gymnastics team in 1984, and the team won the silver medal.
Still pretty darn impressive. Now that I remembered that silver medal. Well,
among that team was Tracy. That's T-R-A-C-E-E. Weird spelling. Tracy Talavera. Do you think she was personally just furious with Jimmy Carter?
Well, you factor in the teen hormones, probably.
She was just going to freak out like Carrie.
Yes.
And just tear through the state of Georgia.
That's how I picture it.
A path of destruction, like the Civil War.
But except she's doing the whole thing on the uneven bars as she goes.
You know, Jimmy Carter went to the Sid and Marty Krofft theme park, the short-lived Sid and Marty Krofft theme park, which was in Atlanta in the 70s. They had a big theme park down there. And President Carter, well, he was governor of Georgia at the time, and he visited the Sid and Marty Krofft theme park.
Oh, I was unaware of this.
I've seen photos. I was just thinking about the theme park again recently because a video just resurfaced. I think it was made for like public television or something, but at the time, like in 1976 or whenever, there was like a half hour TV documentary was made about the Krofft theme park. And the video was just lost all these years, and it has now been released. Somebody tracked down a copy of it somewhere.
Oh, that's cool.
Because there was hardly any video in existence of this theme park. And now there's this wonderful, like, half-hour video where you go through, you see the whole park, and there's interview clips with the Krofts. Jimmy Carter is not in this video, but there were photos of Carter at the Krofft theme park.
It's a little weird, but interesting fact.
It's really weird because like Jimmy Carter, like probably met H.R. Puff and stuff personally for a secret meeting. They plotted about how they were going to ruin the Olympics.
You suppose that's what went down?
I think we can blame the whole thing on Puff and stuff. Yeah. Tracy Talavera hates H.R. Puff and stuff, and I can prove it. But let's move on. We don't have time for that today. There's a letters page here. Here's kids that wrote letters to Dynamite Magazine. And this is my favorite letter this month. Dear Dynamite, how dare you? How could you promote disco? Do you people ever listen to this stuff? It's computer music, not fit for human listening. I love this one. Disco has no class at all. Its beat is too regular. The lyrics have no real meaning. And in my opinion, disco is corrupting our society.
Wow.
He continues. This is a kid named Chuck in Wisconsin.
That tells you everything you need to know, doesn't it?
Chuck goes on to say, rock, on the other hand, speaks of the real world. Compare the music of artists like, and now here are his rock examples, Cheap Trick, Styx, The Knack, or The Beatles to disco. I dare you. I just like how he threw The Beatles in there.
Yeah.
A band that had broken up almost a decade previously.
No kidding.
But there you go. Look at this kid trashing disco, as many were in the late 70s. But
computer music.
It's computer music, he says. I love computer music, for one thing. I like disco, too.
I bet this kid wrote back the following month, and he loved all the drinks that Dynamite suggested.
Yeah. This kid was drinking popcorn at the time, so he was out of his mind.
Yeah.
He was so goofed up on Dynamite beverages. You're right. Dynamite's reply was, dear Chuck, guess you're not crazy about disco, huh? Then they ask all their other readers to weigh in on the disco versus rock debate. Well, I like them both.
Same.
Come on. Here's your favorite cornflake, Dynamite Bummers.
Bring on the bummers.
However, I gotta say, this is a weak month for bummers. I think I find all of these to be stupid.
Boo.
So very quickly, don't you hate it when you forget to put the film in the camera?
I don't even remember what that entails anymore.
Yeah, well, yeah, who puts film in camera anymore? Dynamite Bummers, for anyone who's not aware. This is the kids would send in things that they hate, things that annoy them, and then they'd make a little cartoon out of them on the Dynamite Bummers page. Don't you hate it when you get out of your seat and your cat takes it? There's a little picture of a girl looking at her chair with a cat in it. All right. Don't you hate it when there's a hole in both your pockets? I mean, come on, Annette Law of Heartland, Michigan.
I mean, that's when you just, like, stuff it in your bra, but I guess maybe she wasn't thinking.
Do you want to write to Annette and teach her about stuffing things in her bra?
Yeah, I do.
You have the perfect solution to her problem? Okay. A letter from Cornflake. Dear Dynamite, I like disco. Also, stuff things in your bra.
P.S. I have slightly tastier drink suggestions for you.
Yeah, yeah. Also, maybe go a little easy on the popcorn when you're loading up your beverages. Don't you hate it when you ask for a Corvette for Christmas and the only one you get is a model? That's stupid, and I don't believe a kid actually said that. Sometimes they just make these up at Dynamite, you know?
They must have.
Yeah, because the final two, there's no credit on. There's that one, and don't you hate it when your little brother gets everything that he asks for Christmas, and you don't? So I think they only got 4 submissions this month. Then they just had to spit out those final two Christmas gift things.
Well, that second one about the little brother is stupid until it actually happens to you.
They're all stupid. Oh, I skipped one. Here's a good one. I do kind of like this one. Don't you hate it when your little sister uses your diary for a book report?
Oh.
At least that's clever.
Snap.
Again, that never happened, but all right.
That little sister is savage, though.
That's kind of cute. That's Stephanie from Pennsylvania sent that one in. Not a good month for bummers, I would say, Cornflake.
The bummer of a month for bummers.
And a weird month for your favorite magic Wanda, the girl that teaches us a magic trick every month.
What's she up to this time?
This is crazy. It's 2 full pages, and she's attempting to teach a levitation trick.
Oh.
Like somebody lays down and you put a sheet over them and then they levitate.
Oh.
I feel like this is a bit beyond what you can expect the children reading Dynamite to pull off. This is long and complicated and crazy. I read through this whole trick. There's no way this could work. This is so stupid. So just take my word for it. Wanda is not levitating anybody. It's always so stupid. Magic Wanda has never delivered a decent magic trick that I have found in the history of Dynamite. But, you know, it's a cute 70s girl. She's in her yellow overalls, and she's Magic Wanda.
And she means well.
She means well, yeah, but come on. I'm just worried about the poor 1979 little nerd trying to put on a magic show.
I was that little nerd back in the early 80s.
Did you put on a magic show?
Yeah.
I guarantee you were doing a better show than what Magic Wanda would have had you doing.
Not for a lack of trying, though. I certainly, if I had encountered that Dynamite article, I certainly would have tried.
Well, that's Dynamite. Cornflake, we just killed another issue of Dynamite.
Well, it makes me so happy to be left with the image of John Denver and Steve Martin hanging out playing horseshoes.
Throwing horseshoes. Do you think that's true? Is there a chance that's true? Steve Martin.
It's true in my mind, Kevin.
John Denver throwing horseshoes together.
I mean, I can't picture John Travolta with a beard, but I can picture Steve Martin and John Denver playing horseshoes.
Do you find the horseshoe story more likely to be true than Travolta's got a beard?
I do.
You know what? I think I'm with you. Yeah. Okay. Well, there's another goofy issue of Dynamite. We love it. And before we wrap up, how about a quick plug? Because you and I, our work is not done for this week. We have a show to do this week. It will be available by the time anyone hears this podcast.
Yep. It's double duty thanks to doggies.
We are going back on the Dragon Con American Sci-Fi Classics track. They're doing another live online quarantine panel. And you've done these panels. I've done these panels. But we've never done a panel together.
This will be a Flopcast first.
The Flopcast, invading the classics track. And the reason we're both there is we're talking dogs in science fiction.
It is an awesome topic.
Sort of a follow-up. We've already done classics track panels on cats in science fiction and, strangely, rabbits in science fiction. Now we're doing dogs, and for that one, we need Cornflake on board.
100%.
So this is me and Cornflake, and of course, Joe and Gary, regular directors of the Classics Track, plus, I'm guessing, a few other wonderful, weird Classics Track people. I don't know exactly who else is going to be on this panel, but they always assemble a crazy group of weirdos, and we will all be discussing dogs. Dogs in science fiction and fantasy and pop culture and whatever. Do you have a dog in mind that you're going to make a point of discussing?
I have several.
Oh, good.
What about you?
I think I'm just going to talk about Scooby Dumb.
Scooby Dumb.
You know, Scooby-Doo's idiotic cousin or whatever that thing was.
See, I always think of Scrappy Doo. I forget about Scooby Dumb.
There was Scrappy, but before there was Scrappy, there was Scooby Dumb. And I'm saying, let's make the whole panel about Scooby Dumb.
Oh, no.
I'm going to ruin the panel.
Well, I'm going to do my best to salvage it.
Okay. That's why they need both of us there.
Right. We'll really balance out nicely, I think, Kevin.
Somebody has to stop me from making this the Scooby Dumb panel, and that will be cornflakes. So this show should be available by the time anybody's hearing us now. So we will probably have links with this show so you can hop on over to YouTube or whatever and enjoy the classics track Dogs in Science Fiction with both of us. That'll be fun. Meanwhile, Cornflake, let's wrap up the Flopcast.
Okay. Well, in order to do that, we've got to tell folks where to find us between shows at flopcast.net, facebook.com/flopcast, on Twitter. Our handle is at Flopcast. On Instagram, the_Flopcast. On Apple Podcasts, you can leave us a rating and or a review. Both would be nice. I'm all for both. Music for the Flopcast is written and performed by the Sponge Awareness Foundation.
Oh, you know, Chuck Rathman of Oak Creek, Wisconsin says, the Sponge Awareness Foundation is computer music, not fit for human listening. And as usual, I completely agree. Cornflake, thanks for another goofy little dynamite edition of the Flopcast. And everybody, thanks for hanging out with us again. And, you know, be safe, get your shots, be good, be kind. We're thinking of you. See you next week.
Peace and cookies.
Howdy. Listen up. I am talking. Now, the question of the hour is, who's got a Doctor Who podcast? Answer, we do. Next question, who's listening to it? Answer, you are. If you're sitting up there in your silly little spaceship and you've got any plans to listen to a Doctor Who podcast, just remember who's standing in your way. And then, do the smart thing. Listen to Earth Station Who, right here on the ESO Network.
Welcome to Doctor Geek's Laboratory.
Hello everyone, Dr. Geek here with a shout out to all the scientists who worked tirelessly to bring a COVID-19 vaccine into reality. And let's face it, creating something of this magnitude is a miracle worthy of Dr. McCoy himself. And now, Dr. Geek needs you to do your part. Remember, each shot is one small step back to normal, one giant leap to putting the pandemic behind us. We can do this. For more information, visit vaccines.gov to find your nearest provider.
Cornflake, welcome to the Secret After Show.
It's Secret After Show time, and I heard a rumor that you've got something for the Secret After Show this week.
It doesn't happen often. Usually, I'm like, oh, Cornflake, what are we doing for the After Show? But this week, I actually have something. I stumbled upon a weird bit of trivia earlier today that relates to a previous Secret After Show.
Tell me more.
From just like a month ago. We did that music video episode of the Flopcast.
Yes, that was really wild.
Remember we were just watching videos and commenting and on them?
Talking about them. Yes.
The poor listeners just had to sit through it all. Well, the After Show, you may recall, we did one more Secret After Show video, which was you wanted me to see the Samantha Fox music video for I Only Want to Be With You.
Yes, the guys popping out of the trash cans.
It's an amazing, crazy, goofy video. We all loved it. And as we discussed during the main show, I knew that song best from the Bay City Rollers version. However, that's a song that goes back to Dusty Springfield.
Right.
And it's been covered many, many times by all sorts of people. And I happened to come across another one that I did not know existed earlier today. And, oh, you know, this is a coincidence. I think this is from 1979, just like today's Dynamite magazine. But what I learned about was there was a band called The Tourists.
Okay.
British band called The Tourists. And they did a cover of I Only Want to Be With You. Interesting thing about this band, they were not around for long. But two members of The Tourists were Dave Stewart and Annie Lennox.
Whoa.
And when The Tourists broke up, they formed the Eurythmics.
I do actually remember that about the Eurythmics now that you mention it.
I did not know this. I never heard of the Tourists before, I think. But anyway, so here's Annie Lennox and Dave Stewart with the rest of the Tourists, and there is a music video for it. I recommend everybody YouTube this thing. It's just the band playing the song, and there's Annie just all smiles, just hopping around, singing I Only Want to Be With You.
Is it computer music?
It's computer music, unfit for human listening, yes.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.